Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Preacher and the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, September 26, 2018. I'm sorry I'm late. Some stuff happened. I'm not going to get into all of it at all. Really dumb stuff, but I'm not going to get into it, but we're all good. I'm here back at McDonald's at 1711 South Saginaw Road, as I usually am, for the show. I'm so glad to have you, wherever you may be, however you may be accessing the program. My prayer tonight is that you would just be blessed tonight, wherever you are listening to this program. And we're so glad to have you. And it's good to be one. Tonight, I am going to get into it rather shortly. There is a lot I want to get to tonight, even though a bit of time has been eaten away. I'm not going to say a lot, I'm going to say a bit, as it's no one you're half or anything, but still, I'm glad to have you, and it is 6:45, and we run until about generally 8 o'clock, 5 to 8. I will be doing Football Central starting at 7:25, as I always do, because we have a lot of football to get to. I'm going to do the intro on how to listen to the show, then I'm going to pray, and then before I open up the Bible to Hebrews 11 for tonight's lesson, I want to get back into touching on the miracle of Jesus healing the paralytic before I was interrupted by the circumstance of that tornado warning that sent me straight to the bathroom. Luckily, we didn't have a super serious tornado, but there was a real small touchdown in, like, the north part of the county. The warning expired, like, literally 5 minutes later, but I logged off. And when you log off, it kind of assumes the show's done. So that meant I couldn't get back on. So actually, you know what? Instead of doing a monologue, I would have done. I'm just going to take that time. I would have sent on a monologue. I'm talking about the McDonald's food or whatever. And I'm going to talk instead about what happened in Mark 2 with the paralytic. So the four men, they get to the synagogue, they see it's full, they put the mat, they see a hole in the roof, they put the mat, they lift the mat up, and then they lower them down through the roof. You're crazy. Well, they were desperate for a miracle for their friend. And they could have easily said, sorry, buddy, don't think you can get to the house of God. Parking's full. There's no way to get inside. They were desperate. They just wanted to see Jesus. They wanted their healing. They wanted that miracle from God. Are you desperate for that miracle? You just got to ask yourself, how bad do I want to receive that miracle from God? That's number one. Number two, do you honestly and truly believe that He will do for you what you are believing for? Do you believe? I do believe. So, amen. I really truly believe that He will do what He said He would do. And of course, those Pharisees, they're sitting there and they're yelling at him and saying, Master, why did you tell them these things were forgiven rather than say, get up and walk? And then he explained that thing. And those Pharisees just didn't get it. Oh, but then the rest of the congregation, when they saw that that man who had been paralyzed, you know, nowadays he would have been in a wheelchair, but he had four men helping him. He couldn't walk, so they just carried him around. When they saw that man just getting up and walking, that congregation just totally gave Jesus a standing ovation. Or nowadays they would say there was a standing O in the arena or wherever. But they were cheering and praising God for what they had seen, as they should have been. It was awesome. And they were doing it because of the greatness of God, that miracle that they had seen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your miracles. Now, I'm going to do the real quick how to listen to the show. This is going to be extra quick, because then I want to get to read Hebrews 11 to you tonight in its entirety. And the first two verses of chapter 12, and exhort on that a little bit, because I didn't get to do it on Monday. I didn't get to do it yesterday either because we had that interruption. So I'm going to do it tonight. Guaranteed. So, folks, I want to encourage you to tell people how they can be a part of the show. You go to blogtalkradio.com. In the search box, type in Upfront Entertainment. After that, you click on the link that says Living Large, and you'll see the little bubbly thingy that says Preacher and Miracle Man. Click on that thing. And then after that, you will want to click on the thing. Yes, the thing that says Preacher and Miracle Man. Then after that, we want you to hit the follow button. Because when you hit the follow button, you get notified when we get ready to do our show. For example, Monday will be the next show. All right. We have a telephone number where you can call in and be a part of the show, and we can talk about basically anything you want to talk about. The number is area code 215-383-2484. 3810. Once again, that number is 215-383-3810. Please listen for the prompts and then press 1 when you hear the one that says to call into the live show. My assistant Jenny will be letting me know that we got a caller and then I'm going to let you on and you can talk. As I said, basically anything as long as it's not politics. If it's politics you want to talk about, we're just going to tell you to pray for your leaders that have authority over you. All right. Now, we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this precious next few moments that we have in your word tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that you bless this time. I thank you that these listeners are ready to receive what you have for them wherever they are. Thank you that you just open their minds, open their hearts, so that they can just receive from you what you have for them, Lord. Yeah. Just thank you for your beauty. Thank you for your awesomeness. Thank you for who you are. I love you, Lord. Hi. Speak over the show in the name of Jesus. That finances come to the show. New equipment comes to the show. That partners, sponsors and partners come to the show. And more listeners come to the show. And most importantly, Jesus, I claim that souls I want on the show, people come on the show and they give their lives to you. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. There are two sounds that preachers really love. One is pages turning, and the other is checks being ripped out of checkbooks. Because that means that the pastor has taken an offering and hallelujah, more money to preach the gospel. Don't you think that's pretty funny? That pastor said that before from the pulpit. Don't you think that's pretty funny? Yeah, it is. It is funny. So, you know, I really do try to insert humor here and there because it grabs attention. So, we're about to read powerful verses about faith. All right. Be prepared to receive a wonderful word of God. And I want to encourage you, please, for the next little bit, as I pray, you pray. When I begin to read, about 10 seconds, you follow along with me. And if I sing a song, if you know the lyrics, you go ahead and sing along with me. So whatever you do, whatever I do here at McDonald's, you listeners listening at home or in the car, whatever, just do along with me. If you're in a place where you can't, where you're driving, then you don't necessarily have to read, but just pay close attention. All right. Hebrews 11, verse 1. I'm going to begin reading right now. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man. when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. And by his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, when Abraham was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same purpose. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons, and he worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, and he gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was barren, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking forward to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. And by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, and they refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and were put in prison. They were stoned. They were sodden to. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Amen. Now, go to James 2. Actually, no. Now, I want to let you know, guys, know something. We walk by faith, not by sight. I don't go by what I see. I go by what God says. Go by what the Word of God says. I don't live by the way I see it. I choose to go by what God sees. Yes, we live in a natural world in that, but instead of saying I'm blind, I like to say my eyes are healed in the name of Jesus, because I stand on the Word of God. I stand in faith. I stand in. I stand on the Word of God and what the Word of God says. Amen. 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 Lord, I thank you for this time and your word tonight. Thank you that these people understand it and they receive it and they know what to do with it, and they're going to seek you because you have all the answers even when they do not have them. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Time to talk some sports. First off, the Tigers started a series with the Twins in Minnesota last night. They won 4-2. The next game is at 8:10 tonight from Minneapolis, Minnesota. So they play two more games there in Minnesota. And then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they go to Milwaukee to play the Brewers. The Tigers right now are third in the AL Central, but obviously not good enough to make the playoffs. They have way too many losses for that. The only good team in the AL Central is actually the Cleveland Indians. I wish it was us, but hey, Ohio is still awesome, of course, like I always say. As I like to say, the place where the flies go to die, Ohio. Unfortunately, the Tigers will have to sit out another postseason. This will be four in a row. Hopefully next year we can get some much better players, especially with the retirement of Victor Martinez. Hopefully we have some more money, because I'm ready for us to start winning now. I am ready for us to start winning. The losing is kind of getting to me and the most of the fan base here in Detroit. Now, talk about divisions that have been claimed as far as these teams are confirmed for the playoffs right now. Confirmed, guaranteed. AL East, you have the Red Sox. They have well over 100 wins. They've actually have tied their franchise record. And if they win another one, which I think they will, they'll beat it. AL Central, we said, Cleveland. And AL West, Houston. So all of the AL divisions, American League divisions, are claimed. And then let's talk about the National League. National League East. The Braves. The next team, their magical number in order to get the division would be 9. So maybe if the Braves lost all those games and that other team won them all, maybe they could get it, but it doesn't look like that'll happen. NL Central is close, though. You got Cubs. And then the Cardinals and the Brewers are real close. And then the NL West, you have Colorado and the next one are close. So the NL is closer than the AL in general. Even though the Yankees and the Red Sox are both very well. I could totally see the Yankees making it as a wild card and going places. I could see a Yankees-Red Sox ALCS, to be honest with you. I really could. And the winner of that go to the World Series. I just realized Houston has 100 wins, so I don't think they will fall in the first round quietly. If they do fall, it'll be in a best of 5, it would take the full five games to get Houston out of there. I don't know that I see that happening, though. Because they have continued to do very well. Verlander is a big piece of that. And Verlander does very well when he makes the playoffs. So I look for Houston to keep going. I look for the Braves to do some great things, hopefully. Because I like it. All right. Monday's when I'm going to do my Tigers closing statements, because that is, by then, their last game will have been played. They got five more games to play, though. Hopefully they can win at least three of these five games. That's my hope. And then have some momentum to carry on to start next year. All we can do is hope. After Sunday, there's no more in Detroit. No more. It's just how things are. My hope is that we can get some help in the bullpen, another good starter. We really need some more good bats. Cabrera can't do it on his own anymore. He's getting older. We need someone to replace Victor Martinez. I wish we could afford to pick J.D. Martinez back up, because I just want us to have team names that people are going to recognize. It sells tickets, for one thing, and secondly, many of these players know how to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And so, hope for better things. Let's talk a little bit of hockey. And then we're going to get right into Football Central after that. Red Wings. Preseason has started. Jenny and her boyfriend were at a hockey game on Thursday night down there in Detroit at Little Caesars Arena, in which the Red Wings did beat the Chicago Blackhawks 4-2. Vaughn's a big Chicago Blackhawks fan, but thankfully Vaughn likes the Red Wings as well. Otherwise, I was going to have to pick his brain. That would have been a little bit of a different car ride if he didn't like the Red Wings also. Yeah, because that'd be ripping him. And luckily we didn't have to have that conversation last night, because that wouldn't have been too fun. They're looking pretty good. I do expect them to do better this year. I'm hoping that they can start a new streak of making the playoffs. So this would be season one of that. Hopefully we can build up another organization that is built to last and built to make the Stanley Cup playoffs again year after year, make it past the first round, be able to keep the name Hockey Town, because we'll be winning enough to be able to do that. And we'll just get going. That's the hope. Now, NBA preseason hasn't started yet. That's why you're not hearing any basketball. So, let's go to Football Central. All righty. First, take you straight to Midland High. From the Midland Chemics are going to take on the 5-0 Mount Pleasant Oilers at Midland Community Stadium for homecoming. No one's beaten Mount Pleasant each of the last 3 years, but Mount Pleasant this time is a tough task. They've gotten some very good wide receivers. They got a very good quarterback. In fact, those two brothers where the senior is the quarterback of the Mount Pleasant Oilers and the junior is one of the wide receivers. So that's kind of a serious 1-2 threat that Mervin will have to defend, because I'd honestly like to see one of the passes that's intended for his brother get intercepted by the Canucks. Wouldn't that be a statement? No, that'd be a big statement.
I know it might not be the best thing for the family, but hey, you know, it's football, and
I'd like to see that pass, little pass intended for his brother, just be intercepted by Mervin and ran right back to the house. I'd love to see that. Will that happen? I don't know. I'm more apt to predict a score, which I'm going to, than where I am to predict exactly what's going to happen and why. Midland's been playing at a higher and higher level each week since the first two losses, the two losses they've had this year. Midland's been playing at a much higher level since then, and they've been looking forward with optimism, hope. Their quarterback, their sophomore quarterback, and Al Money is gaining confidence every week, as he was brought up from JV because he was just tearing it up. I think if Al stays with it, he could produce some great numbers for our school. And that running back, he's had two different games now where he's had four touchdowns, two of them, and we're five games in. So he's a threat. What am I seeing? I think the Canucks can win this one. It's really not going to be easy at all. Our quarterback, Al Money, needs to be as mistake-free as possible. I think he's thrown two picks in his three games, but not too many. So he needs to be as mistake-free as possible. And here's what I think. Let's say there's two picks thrown. Even if there's one, then I would probably say the one who did not throw it would win. So you can't turn the ball over. Your defense will have to get to the quarterback a bit with some pressure. Got to put some pressure on the fullback, the running back, too. You're going to have to play fundamentally sound football. I think Midland is riding a wave of Mount Pleasant. I think Midland can spoil at least for a week Mount Pleasant's party. As Mount Pleasant's only scored 22 points all year, just a little bit more than 22 tomorrow night. I mean, on Friday night, as I think Midland will beat them 27-24, Midland over Mount Pleasant. So I think both will be fruitful. I think Mount Pleasant's quarterback will continue to do well. Obviously, Midland will, but I think Midland will be just enough over to win. So 27-24, the Blue Devil Mount Pleasant. Let's go to Dalhousie. Actually, let's go over to Saginaw, because Saginaw is going to take on Midland Dow at Saginaw High School, the same team that Midland beat this past week. Saginaw is 2-3. Dow is 3-2. Saginaw does have some pretty good players. But Midland totally just nailed them big time, annihilated them with that 40-6 win. Which, by the way, I felt like Midland had to get that big win, because I was kind of waiting for that bold statement from Midland, because 35-11 against Mount Pleasant was good, but I was hoping for more. Well, they did get more. 40-6. But Dow, they've been playing at a high level as well, just like Midland has. They've been scoring over 50 points a game on average. We average everything out, and the last three games since that loss, those two losses, they've been giving up less than 13 points a game, just like Midland has. The interesting stat, though, is Midland's only given up 68 points. Dow's given up 102. What do I see? I see Dow going in there, getting another big one. 37-16, Dow over 7. Because I do think Saginaw's defense will have learned some lessons, and Dow's offense will learn that they have to be a bit better, because you got to play better if you want to win. So that's what I'm saying, more like 37-16 as opposed to something like 49-6 or something like that, which a part of me was thinking for a second, but I was thinking, no. I know Saginaw is going to want to step it up, and I think they will. It just won't quite be enough for them. Now, Michigan going to Northwestern to take on the Wildcats. Michigan is doing very well. I was impressed with how well they did. I think they can keep that going this week. I do see Northwestern as a threat. I am not saying they'll beat us, though, but I do expect it to be a bit more back and forth. Shea needs to have another good game. Yeah, he really does. And we need to run the ball. Our defense needs to be sharp. It was awesome against Nebraska, by the way. And what I expect, I'm predicting Michigan to beat Northwestern 28-21 on Saturday. Next up, MSU versus CMU. A pure Michigan game. In East Lansing. And CMU hasn't exactly been great this year. MSU, they're starting to play at a higher level. I don't think this is the time that CMU is going to want to play MSU, because MSU is really stepping it up. Really trying to do better. Got to keep away from the targeting penalties and the other dumb penalties. Those have to stop. I'm not calling out the officials. I'm calling out the players. Don't break the rules that are getting you penalized. Pay attention. They can, yes, hardly nobody plays penalty-free football. You're going to get a few penalties, but just try to cut down on the silly, stupid penalties, like the roughing the passers and all that kind of stuff. You got to cut those down. And what I expect Michigan State to do, Michigan State, 38, CMU, 14. Sorry, Chippewas. I had no choice. Because MSU is really stepping it up. I like what they're doing. I think they can go places this year, even though it might not look like it against Arizona State. I'm not going to make that excuse and say it was hot in Arizona so they could afford to lose. Maybe the loss might have been a factor, but that maybe the heat may have been a factor, but that doesn't make an excuse by any means. So they just got to play better football. And I think Michigan State will win on Saturday. Now, let's go to NFL. First off, let's talk, and I'm going to pick a Thursday night game this time. The Vikings of Minnesota are going out to Los Angeles tomorrow night on short rest. They got to go take on the Los Angeles Rams. Los Angeles Rams have started out the season 3-0. Vikings are 1-1-1. They got totally thrown around and rocked around by the Bills last week on Sunday. No one expected that. I didn't expect that. I saw that as just a sleepy game, so why even pay attention to it? But the Vikings lost 27-6 when they were favored to win by over 17 points at home. What do I see? I think the Vikings are going to play a lot better tomorrow night. Will it be enough for the Vikings to beat the Rams? No, I don't think it will. Vikings are tired. They're going out to L.A. They have to deal with the 2-hour time difference between them and Minneapolis. So, that could get them. It'll be a lot closer than that 27-6. I do expect the quarterback to do, for Minnesota to do well. And cut down on the picks. And I expect the running backs to do a better job. I think Minnesota will end up losing this game, but I think it'll be -23 Rams over the Vikings. That's just what I see happening out there on Hollywood Boulevard. Tomorrow night, I will be listening to see. In fact, I will be listening to Paul Allen, the Minnesota play-by-play guy. I'd like to see him just to see what he's going to say. I will be streaming him tomorrow night, as he's going to call that game on the Vikings radio network. To see what he says. He, by the way, is the guy who called the Carolina Panthers the Carolina Kitties. Nothing against Carolina. I'm not saying this to be mean at all, but I agree. I would call them the Carolina Kitties myself. I just think it's funny that he does that. That's why I would do it. So I don't think the Lions play the Katies this year, though, but the next time I pick a game that had the Panthers in it, I'm not going to call them the Panthers. I'm going to call them the Kitties. Because, just like Paul Allen said, all right. Now, it's time for the Lions pick. And that leads me to what I will talk about for a few minutes after I do this pick. But I'm going to pick this Lions game first. Sunday, 1 o'clock, Lions at Dallas to take on the Cowboys. Now, I know the Lions had that huge win on Sunday. But I also know Dallas is a very hard place to play. And back in 2011, the Lions had to overcome a 21-point deficit. Maybe it was 24 points, actually, in order to get a win in Dallas. They had to overcome a big deficit. They did it, but they were real close to the end of the game when they did it, when they finally had came back from the dead and won the ball game. But in order to get done all that, Dallas has played two road games. They didn't look anywhere near as good on the road going to play the Kitties and going to play the Seahawks as what they did when they played in Dallas against the Giants. When they played against the Giants, they looked really sharp. Zeke was doing well. The quarterback was doing well. It was just rolling. Can the Lions go into Dallas on Sunday and mess them up a little bit? Yes, it's at their house. Can they do it? I think they can, but it's going to be a close one. Because let's remember, it's in Jerry's World, and Jerry's World is a loud stadium. And by the way, folks, for those of you folks who are listening to my show, to hear me and not just hear about football, and you don't know what Jerry's, this idea of why it's called Jerry's World, Jerry Jones is the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. It's like one of the most elaborate football stadiums you will see. The biggest NFL stadium there is. That's why it's called Jerry's World. Down over there in Arlington, Texas, AT&T Stadium, a.k.a. Jerry's World. So, at Jerry's World, they're going to play. What do I think for a score? Lions, 28. Cowboys, get ready, 26. 28-26. Stafford for a touchdown throw. He's going to get it done for him. I think that's what it's going to take. And I do expect the Lions to continue the momentum. They've learned some things. They're going to do better as a team. I think Patricia is getting it how he wants it to be. But that doesn't mean that there won't be any more challenges or that we'll go 16-0. You know, it's still NFL football. And it's going to be just like all the rest of life. Not always going to be perfect. There's going to be some games you're going to lose. Some of them are going to be divisional games. Some are going to be at home. And hey, let's face it, you might lose another game to a lowly team like the Jets are right now in the next few years, but hopefully not like the way we just did. Hopefully it'll be something that's a lot closer. I expect the Lions to keep it going. Feel proud about what they did, but the time for celebrating beating the Patriots is over. Now it's time for them to focus on beating Dallas. After Dallas, then game to focus on would be Green Bay. Because the show must go on and the work must go on. And by work, I mean they just got to keep playing as a team. They'll get the wins that they need. And Lions fans are great. I love them. Let's go, Lions. Now, I want to address something.
So, the Jets coach, she came out this morning or last night, I forget when, but he came out there and he said, we had a plan for Tyrod of the Cleveland Browns, but we didn't have a plan for Mayfield. Excuse me, you didn't have a plan for your backup quarterback, knowing that he was the first overall draft pick in the NFL? I get it. You can't always expect that the guy who was starting for the Browns was going to get injured, but to not have a plan in place in case the backup shows up and not be ready? Come on. This is professional football. This isn't high school. This isn't middle. This isn't Pee Wee football. You got to show up prepared and ready to play the game, no matter who's that quarterback. I wouldn't care if I showed up and I was the best quarterback anywhere. Hopefully you'd be ready. As a good football team is always prepared. Even when as lowly as the Jets are right now. You should always come prepared. Like at work, you should always be prepared to do the work. You know, at school, it's test day, you should be prepared to take the test. That is, in my mind, that is just failure on the part of the Jets. That they didn't have a game plan for them to try to defend them. Your defense isn't ready to defend that quarterback. I don't know what is going on. So they just need to be prepared. All right. I speak Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. Say that no plague shall come nigh us and no evil shall come near our dwelling, as you have given your angels, Lord, charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drugs or drunk drivers, no rapists, no burglars, murderers, suicide, fire, flood, crash. None of this evil stuff is going to come near us or our immediate loved ones. We're going to live in great peace, great joy, and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus, until I see you listeners again, which will be on Monday night. Sure love you. And until Monday night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.